from the Fan.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Well, you survived the weekend. Big sports weekend in the state. Yeah, the Badgers, unfortunately, they fell to Purdue on Friday night. You got a nice win from Marquette. Big win from Marquette. Exciting win from Marquette. You've got the Bucks fell to the Wizards on Friday night. That was disappointing. Bounced back, though, and knocked off the Atlanta Hawks. But, boy, it's disappointing to see them lose on Friday night. Those are gimme games. Those are the games that you should walk away with a victory. However, you also had a weekend, a few announcements regarding the Packers. You had a few coaching moves and a lot of people being interviewed. And there's a bunch of shuffling going on right now as head coaches are hiring their staffs. New head coaches are hiring their staffs. And then you had the AFC and NFC championship games. So a different type of weekend, as there really wasn't, you know, any Packers involved in it. And the wounds weren't fresh or anything like that. Some of the other big news came out of Chicago, where Goose Island decided to have their kicking competition to see, hey, if it's so easy and you think Parkey should have made it, why don't you try it? And the results of that coming out, we'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. Steve Novak, the Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, he's going to join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour. The Bradley Center's roof imploded. Just a lot of different stuff. You know what I mean? Just a lot of different stuff going on. And, like I said, we'll talk some Bucks here at the bottom of the hour, but a little bit disappointed the Bucks didn't sweep that road trip. That was one that got away. But then again, we'll see if they bounce back and get a couple of solid wins and continue on. Meanwhile, the Packers, they have coaching updates. It's just a basic recap of everything that's gone on. They're just, you know, look, it was funny. It was funny over the weekend. Everybody that I met is talking about Packers. Even the girl that cuts my hair, even Shaniqua. I went out and got my hair cut yesterday. I walked in, Beal starts talking to me. What about this Packers head coach? And then before I could really get kind of the explanation out, she had it all figured out. Young guy, hope he can communicate with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's all the same. This is the topic of conversation, people, that whoever they hire better be able to talk to Aaron Rodgers, better be able to call plays, better be able to scheme guys open. The one thing I will say, if you watch Sean Payton over the weekend, that's kind of how you do it. At times, got maybe fancier than he needed, but you talk about creativity. You know, running the Wildcat with Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill even going out for passes yesterday, the way they did things. Really seeing a swing in the momentum, needing to do something to kind of generate the crowd, some of the crowd enthusiasm to bring it back. Does the fake punt with Taysom Hill. Runs it up the gut, picks up a first down. They go on to score from there. I mean, just a lot of different stuff that we saw yesterday. And I was watching Twitter. There was some people going, oh, well, that's what it's supposed to be like. That's what a creative offense is supposed to be like. So I thought it was interesting yesterday. Your thoughts on the weekend? The AFC and the NFC wild card, or I shouldn't say wild card, divisional round matchups. Now you've got the AFC and the NFC title games coming up, and you've got the top four scoring offenses involved still in the postseason. Say that again. The top four scoring offenses. Now that tends to point towards, well, see, offense is going to win you a championship. I think yesterday you saw some pretty good defense being played. You saw some pretty good defense being played by the New England Patriots. You saw some pretty good defense being played by the New Orleans Saints. God knows they got a decent defense out there in L.A. as far as the Rams go. So they got some pretty good defenses that are still in play here. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not too shabby either. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 if you want to chime in. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. 855-830-8648. Would love to catch your thoughts on the weekend that was and looking at the AFC and the NFC championship games moving forward. I got to admit, I went 2-for-2, or 2-for-4, I should say. I won two games, lost two games over the weekend. Home teams getting the victories, and then road teams I thought were going to win, and they didn't. Home teams getting the wins. So the only one I think I had a real kind of trouble with was the Patriots, because I thought the Patriots were kind of ripe for the pickings, but they're tough to play at Gillette. And but I did go ahead and pick them, but I thought for sure Philadelphia, with the head of steam they had coming in, they were kind of figuring things out. It's always tough to go East Coast to West Coast. I understand that. But L.A., they'd been giving up some points. They had just defensively not looked great. But, boy, they really stymied what Nick Foles and company had to bring. So, interesting. Interesting weekend. And the playoff picture just gets clearer and clearer. And now you've got Maroon 5 completely confirmed as the halftime host or halftime guest or act, if you will, for the Super Bowl down in Atlanta. So we're looking forward to that. By the way, we will bring you that press conference of Maroon 5, because that'll take place when we're down there in Atlanta coming up in a couple of weeks. Less than 2 weeks away now that we leave. So I can't believe it, but it's almost on top of us. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. One of the more interesting things of the weekend that came out was that Tom Brady of all people, which I found rather interesting, Tom Brady of all people, after the game, New England, you know, dominated the Chargers, start to finish. 498 yards of total offense, including 155 on the ground. The Patriots opened up the game. 14-play touchdown drive, right? No problem. Tom Brady says that everyone thinks we suck. And, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun. Everyone thinks, who thinks the Patriots suck? Well, you talk about the outside world leaking in some way, shape, or form, but who would ever say that the Patriots suck? Patriots, I mean, come on. They're the Patriots, for God's sake, specifically at home. But I like how they've turned the outward world against them. They're using that as some kind of a chip on their shoulder. As if to say that they have to figure out something to motivate them. So Bill Belichick, in some way, shape, or form, has convinced them that the outside world thinks they suck. Okay, it's the Patriots. They just continually win championships and continually find themselves in the AFC championship game. Although this is the first time they're on the road. But nevertheless, who thinks they suck? Other news coming out of New England, by the way, Rob Gronkowski hasn't thought about it when it comes to retirement, but says he'll think about it at the end of the year. You know what they say, once it starts to leak into your mind and you think you might retire, that this might be it, then they always say, then you should just retire. But Gronkowski's been beat up his entire career. While he's a really big guy, he hasn't been as durable as you would like. He's delivered a lot of punishment, but between falling off stages and getting body slammed and things like that at some of the raves that we saw him, you know, do, and then he ended up with some back issues, some knee issues. He had a broken arm at one point. Don't get me wrong, he's played like a warrior, but Gronk has brought some of the stuff on himself. Anyway, he has said that he'll talk about retirement at the end of the season. I would assume if maybe they win a championship, maybe at that point he might call it a career, but I think he still comes back. Steven Richfield says, I was certain that the Chargers would give the Patriots a better game than that yesterday. While watching with some buddies, the conversation turned to Rivers being the modern-day Dan Marino. He's a sure Hall of Famer, but probably will never win a Super Bowl. Your thoughts? That's a great comparison. Although he's not going to end up with the same numbers, so to speak. But I agree. He's a guy that's been a very good quarterback. Although he hasn't ever, like, you know, just been great. He's had well above average numbers. But Marino had, I mean, when Marino was with Clayton and Duper and those guys, I mean, he had just significant numbers, significant yardage and touchdown. They just couldn't put it together with a defense that could stop anybody. That was part of their problem. But, you know, certainly Rivers is one hell of a quarterback. No doubt about it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. And at Cousin Subs, do not forget that Cousins, they offer you a lot of great stuff, including catering. So I'm sure at some point here in the near future, you're going to have a gathering. And if you're going to have a gathering, you might as well go ahead and make it a Cousins Subs kind of day. Why? Because they cater. They cater those big party boxes, two-foot party sub, whatever it happens to be. You can get it from our friends at Cousins Subs. And maybe you don't need a great big party box. Maybe you just need a sandwich, including the new gyro from Cousins Subs. Mouth-watering, scrumptious. Chicken meat, gyro meat, whatever it happens to be, slathered in all the great sauce, Wisconsin feta cheese, fresh cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, all that kind of good stuff. So rescue your taste buds right now at Cousins. Cousins Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. What kind of weekend was it for you, sports-wise? We got a lot more coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I'm telling you what, it's a new year. You're making resolutions out there. You make sure you stick with them. That's all I got to say about it. Stick with them. And if you're feeling down, you're feeling sluggish, feeling moody, whatever it happens to be, there's a place around called New Mail Medical Center. They can certainly help you out. New year, new you, that's what you're looking for. If erectile dysfunction got you down in 2018, stop it. They can help you out in 2019 for sure. Again, new year, new you. Or if you're feeling run down, tired, whatever it happens to be, do what I did. Go in and get your numbers checked. And if you end up with low enough numbers, they're going to say you have some low T going on. Go in and get the treatment. And all of a sudden, you have energy, you have stamina, you have mental clarity. It's all right there. And all you have to do is call 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. And don't forget about the all-in-one weight loss program. That thing is fantastic. Down well over 50, 60 pounds. Back on it and getting ready for the trip out to Arizona. Because there will be some pool time, you know. At some point, there's going to be some pool time, maybe some hot tub time out in Arizona. So get in shape, feel good, feel better about yourself and others around you as well. 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. The other news over the weekend, Joe Witt Jr., no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers coaching staff. Adam Schefter confirming, and others as well, over the weekend that the Packers have terminated Witt, who was the defensive passing game coordinator. All right. Now, we know Mike Pettine's staying, but the Packers' pass defense had gone from a strength to a weakness the past three seasons. But right after the announcement that Joe Witt Jr. was gone, Charles Woodson tweets out that there is no better guy to coach the secondary than Joe Witt Jr., vouching for him, as a matter of fact. But let's be honest. I mean, the team continued to struggle. Joe Witt Jr. said, I want to be a head coach someday. It's one of my aspirations. I want to be a defensive coordinator first. I want to call plays. I know I'm ready for it, so we'll see what happens. But Witt promoted to the defensive passing game coordinator. And under his leadership, with the help of Pettine, the Packers' pass defense finished 12th in the NFL in passing yards allowed at 235 yards a game. Opponents completed 63.8% of their passes with 30 touchdowns, 7 picks, a quarterback rating of 100.9. Not enough, though, to keep them around. So now we wait and see. Anyway, they continue to kind of mold the coaching staff in Green Bay, which is, you know, what everybody that was looking for a head coach is doing, has done. So we'll see what other coordinators and coaches they bring in. But as of right now, Matt LaFleur continues to remake the coaching staff before they begin to remake the roster when it comes to the ability to upgrade at many of their different positions. So what did you take away, though, from the overall weekend, from the divisional playoff games? And you got Bucks basketball. We're going to talk some Bucks basketball here after the bottom of the hour, by the way. Steve Novak, the Bucks TV analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, he's going to be joining us. We're going to talk with him about this Bucks team. Tough one to lose on Friday night, but good bounce back against the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday. But what did you take away from the divisional round games? Anything in particular? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. This is from Jonathan. Says, I was driving home from Green Bay yesterday and listening to sports radio, but I listened to the host bash the Patriots for almost an hour. He said the Patriots had absolutely no chance of winning that game. That's from Jonathan, who tweeted this at Bill_Michaels. What? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? That's what I'd like to know. What guy was saying that the Patriots suck and have no chance? The fire Thompson now, which, by the way, now that Thompson is gone, don't you think it's time to change the Twitter handle? Just thought I'd throw it out there. Said, when Brady says they suck, I think he means people hate them. Not that they are not any good. At least that's the way I heard it. Maybe. But let's be honest. When you throw out the adjective of you suck, first of all, it's not a verb. It's an adjective. And secondly, that would mean that you're not very good. At least that's the way any normal human being would take it. And any normal human being that says the Patriots suck, maybe their fan base sucks, maybe their arrogance sucks or something to that effect, but you don't come out and just say, oh, by the way, the Patriots suck. There you go. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. George writes in the Wendy's email inbox, this is a big dose of reality after watching the teams over the weekend. The Green Bay Packers simply aren't there, even though they were a couple of plays away of maybe winning a few more games and getting into the postseason. Talent-wise, they don't compare with the teams that are on the field right now. They have a long way to go, and I think it's going to be 2020 before this team can finally make a real run at a Super Bowl. Your thoughts? That, you know what? We had said all along, I mean, go back to when we had John Kuhn was on the air with us doing the postgame show with Gary and I over at Hinterland not too long ago. And we got into this discussion about talent. And one of the issues was how quickly they can turn it back around. And realistically, yeah, they can be playoff contenders next year. You get a couple of key pieces. You get some guys that remain healthy. I think they've got some quality starters. The issue has been when guys go down, where is their depth? Because their depth affects everything from special teams moving forward to guys that back you up. Are they serviceable or not? Or are they subpar and you're just throwing a body out there? Because I've said it before, at times it looks like they just have guys, okay? So are they good enough to be in the postseason? If they stay healthy, absolutely. They can make it back to the postseason next year. You know, you keep Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark healthy. You find a pass rusher. You fortify your safety position. I think your corners are pretty good if they don't go down with injury. You could put Kevin King and Jair Alexander back there, even though they're young. You may want to think about keeping a guy around like Jermon Williams for the knowledge, for the ability to kind of help school some of the younger guys. And Jair Alexander has talked a lot about the study habits of Jermon Williams and what he's learned this year from him. I think Jermon would maybe not make necessarily a great player, but a better coach. But he's been really good. He's been a benefactor. He's been a guy inside that he's been beneficial inside that locker room. And then offensively speaking, you keep your line together. You fortify the guard position. You've got a pretty decent run game. Williams and Jones both have proven that they can carry the ball, and they're a pretty good mix at 1 and 2. And then you've got good wideouts. You get Geronimo Allison back. You've got Devontae Adams. Maybe upgrade your tight end position and add another veteran wide receiver, and you're ready to go, barring major injury. You know, when you put major injury into this and specifically decimate one position, then, yeah, all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in. Now, if everybody stays healthy, yeah, they're going to be back in the postseason. But we all know that's kind of a pipe dream because this team's been one of the more banged-up teams in the National Football League, and at least in the top 10 to top 15 over the last 3 to 5 years. About 6 years ago, they were a really healthy team, and they weren't able to take advantage of it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. So I agree with you that they can get right back there, but you would most likely be targeting 2020 by the time you add a few key positions. And remember, going back to our conversation earlier this year when you and I were chatting, this was one of those situations in which you need some Pro Bowlers. I bring up time and again what Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were talking about that Monday night or that Sunday night when I'm sitting there and I brought it to the table the next day. When you start really talking about championship teams, you start going back through levels. You go from your line to your rush to your safety to your corner. You start looking at guys as being all pro, or at least on the verge of being all pro, and guys that are stars on that side of the football. You need two or three. You can't have just one. You need two or three guys that are beyond good to really kind of anchor that thing. You know, no doubt. 855-830-86. You'll have it over on the offense. You have Devontae Adams, David Bakhtiari, Aaron Rodgers. Those three guys right there can get you into Pro Bowls. Beyond that, can you get an Aaron Jones? Can you get a Jamal Williams? Can you get, a Geronimo Allison? Can you get somebody like that ilk into the Pro Bowl? You're pretty set on the offensive side. You just need a couple extra pieces. Defensively speaking, maybe Kenny Clark, maybe Mike Daniels. You know, they continue to get better and stay healthy. Maybe a guy like Jair Alexander. He had a heck of a rookie season. It wasn't terrible. Some people want to say, well, the secondary stunk. No, he anchored that thing. And he turned out to be pretty good in doing so. Now he's got a year under his belt. You don't have to worry about combines. You don't have to worry about the draft. You go away. You get healthy. You take it easy for a little bit. And you start your pro workouts, so to speak, now. After they tell you what you need to work on in the offseason, you start your pro workouts probably in the next 2-3 weeks or something like that. You come back and you start to get ready for the season. That's what you do. So we'll see. Maybe you even get into one of those. You get into one of those camps. You get into one of those camps in which, you know, you got a bunch of guys that are going out to, a receivers camp, or you go out and you go to a guy that's going to do one of those, let's say, linebacker camps or something like that. I mean, I know that. Larry Fitzgerald has a wide receiver camp that they put all these wide receivers together out in Arizona. I know there's another one out in L.A. As a matter of fact, your Michael Finley went to one in Arizona at one point just to try to get better. You get some of these young guys into some of those camps and hanging out with NFL guys and learning how to study, learning how to work out, learning how to play a little bit better. Yeah, things begin to get a little bit better. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Steve Novak, Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin. He will join us to talk some Bucks basketball coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we're on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it, as always. Get back into some Packers chatter coming up a little bit later on. We'll talk about their future, but right now we turn our sights to the Milwaukee Bucks. Tough one on Friday night against a Wizards team that, for all intents and purposes, the Bucks are just better than. And they let one get away, and then they bounce back with a win over the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. To talk more about it, Steve Novak, Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin. Steve, how you been, buddy?
I've been good. How are you guys? Just got back, like you said, from a little three-game trip, and it went well.
Getting 2 out of 3, not a bad way to go. The loss on Friday night, a little bit disappointing, but they get a chance again tonight to get right back at it. But talk about this Bucks team in the sense that, you know, are they doing exactly what you thought they would do, or are they overachieving right now? And give me your thoughts as to how this team is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think from the start of this, to start this season, and now to look back, I think they've definitely exceeded, I think, my expectations and probably most people's. I think really because when a new coach comes in and you've added 4 new guys, you just kind of expect there to be, I don't know, a little bit of, you know, you take your lumps, or, you know, you hear the, oh, we're just trying to get the chemistry figured out and it takes time. But really, I mean, there really wasn't that. You know, it was like preseason started and they were playing well, winning all the games in preseason, it seemed like. And, you know, for the last 2 weeks, pretty much having the best record in the NBA. I think Toronto's got them at this point by a little bit. But, I mean, they've come together quickly. And I think Coach Bud, you know, hiring him in the summer was clearly the right decision. I think a big credit to John Horst to, you know, you just look at these things and you go, did they make the right decision, wrong decision? And I think, I mean, there's no doubt that he's got this team on the same page and playing the right way.
The way, when you talk about playing the right way, the way he has used his lineups at time, I mean, Giannis obviously is the straw that stirs the drink, but Middleton, Bledsoe, both have really come on. I know Middleton struggled for a little while with his shooting. He seems to be a little bit better. Brogdon has played significant minutes in a significant role. Brooke Lopez was a terrific pickup. But you're getting it from everybody. That's the one thing that's been amazing. Pat Connaughton, for a while, he was kind of that Darvin Ham spark plug. And then all of a sudden, he ended up with an injury. And then you get Sterling Brown, who gives you quality minutes. It seems like Thon Maker coming off the bench. Seems like everybody's contributed.
They have. And I think, you know, Coach Bud, he does as good a job as anyone I've seen. I think he learned it from Coach Popovich, how to involve everybody, how to keep not only like the players, every guy top to bottom involved and understanding how valuable they are and that they're going to be needed, but also that he respects each guy. He knows what they're capable of. He doesn't think like, oh, we have an 8-guy rotation and there's 7 of you guys aren't that good. Like, that's not his approach, and it's the same with his coaching staff. His top assistant all the way to the guys in the film room are given respect and responsibility, and, you know, they work, the guys in the film room work with the guys on the court because he knows they want to be coaches one day. And I think it's the same with this team. Like you said, you see Sterling Brown going in. You know, he's scoring double digits, it seems like, every game, having big third quarters. And, you know, DJ Wilson, same thing. It's like he's out there making big plays. And so I think keeping those guys involved is why the Bucks have not lost two games in a row. There's always someone to step up.
Now, we knew Golden State would really start to pour it on once they get everybody back and healthy and they start to really kind of get their scoring machine empowered. But the Bucks, at this point in the season, as we sit here on the 14th of January, still the top scoring team in the NBA. What, in your opinion, has made the difference?
I think the balance that they've played with is the difference. I think, you know, Giannis is better this year than he was last. I think everyone expected that. Not that it's to be taken for granted, but he gets better every year, and he is. You know, and I think last year, as a three-point shooting team, the Bucks were below mediocre. They weren't making a lot of shots, and they just put five guys, it seemed like, on Giannis. So what was going to happen? And I think what Coach Bud did and why they're playing so good is their three-point shooting. They're second in the league in three-pointers made. Giannis is scoring 18 points a game in the paint, by far the most in the NBA. And they've been a top-five defensive team all year long. So I just think the balance that they have is absolutely the best the best balance in the NBA right now in terms of top to bottom. And you know, like you said, too, guys off the bench contributing. So that's why they're scoring the ball. That's why they're winning, is they've got balance, they've got consistency, and they've been, you know, very, very healthy.
Talking with Steve Novak, Bucks television analyst in Fox Sports Wisconsin. You and I talked last year right after Jason Kidd got fired, and we were discussing all the things that Jason wanted to instill in them, and that he was talking about discipline, and guys had to work harder and get into the gym more and be more fundamentally sound. And I kind of said, look, it may not have been the right way to go about it, and guys got kind of tired of it, they got beat on, but it seems like some of the fundamental things that were ingrained in them, once that cloud lifted and Budenholzer said, just go play and go have fun and go let it fly, it seems like they still have the fundamentals. As you mentioned, they're playing really good defense. They're getting steals. They're getting blocks. Hell, I think they're in the top three, as a matter of fact, in blocks per game this season. So they're doing things right. It just seems like once you're kind of allowed to play and everything becomes fun again, all those things that were instilled in them are coming to the surface just in a different way.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, I think that, you know, the Bucks last year were a good defensive team. I mean, they, you know, at stretches of the season were, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the league, and then at other times they were definitely getting cooked, and it wasn't as good. And so I think that it was last year more in flashes where you saw, like, okay, well, you know, Tony Snell is a very good individual defender, and Giannis is a very good individual defender. I think Coach Bud absolutely connected those dots this year, and in terms of the team scheme, has these guys very connected, and Coach Bud's system defensively is different than Jason's. Jason was more aggressive in coverages. There were more game-to-game adjustments, which I do think as a player, it makes it more difficult. You can be really good if you have a group that, you know, can adjust, but I think in terms of consistency and over the course of a season, the way Coach Bud is doing it allows the guys to not have to overthink too much on individual coverages. And, you know, they're confident that if they did it last game, they can do it again. They know their jobs and their roles. So they're very good individually. And I think the way he's connected them as a group is why you're seeing them be a top five defensive team all year.
What has made this team better from the outside shooting, just for the fact that he took the reins off?
I think, you know, Brook Lopez has been enormous.
Right.
I think not only the fact that he's making shots, but the guy who's guarding him is having to come out, who's obviously most times a five-man, having to come out and guard Brook, because if they don't, he's going to make shots. If they do, the five-man is now not in the paint, not in the way of Bledsoe or Giannis or those guys. And so, you know, I just think that the three-point shooting that the Bucks added, Brook Lopez, Ersan, those guys have been huge, Pat Connaughton at times, is working because they have better shooters and because Giannis is still the number one threat. Scoring at the basket in the restricted area is still the number one threat if you're playing the Bucks. So they're trying to stop Giannis going, that's the main thing. And if that's the main thing, then there's going to be some open threes, and they've added some makers. So there's honestly, when you play the Bucks right now, there's a lot of pressure on you as the other team. Like, what do we take away? Because Giannis can give you 40 points. Brooke can give you 7 threes. Middleton can give you 25 points. So can Brogdon. So it's, you know, that's why they've been at the top of the league all year. Is defenses haven't really been able to figure it out.
Hey, I want to ask you, because the Bradley Center's roof comes down, and we all know that the Bradley Center carries a lot of memories for a lot of people, but you played there. You obviously had a ton of success there. Any specific memory sticks out when you think about the Bradley Center?
Oh, that made me so sad yesterday, seeing that. It's just, what I think is, you know, you love the Fiserv Forum. It's amazing, and it has nothing to do with the sadness that happens when you see the Bradley Center roof come down. And I think it reminds me of when people would say, every time I got traded, people would say, you know, are you sad to leave, you know, wherever you're leaving? And you're like, yes, I'm so sad to leave. You know, I have friends and my teammates, and it was like family. And they're like, well, but are you excited to go where you're going next? And you're like, yes, I'm excited to go into the new team and whatever. And so it's, you feel both those things. You know that the Fiserv Forum is the greatest there is right now. But at the Bradley Center, I grew up watching the Bucks, and so, you know, that's that special place where me, every other person who lived in Milwaukee, went to a Bucks game, and you felt that aura, that special NBA feeling when you saw Ray Allen, or you went to a game in 2001 when they were, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think watching those guys there and playing at Marquette, obviously, are my special memories. But I think for me, the sadness comes more from, you know, just knowing that was a place that I grew up watching the Bucks play is now gone.
You know, it's interesting because you had some pretty big moments there as a player, and it's more so the memories of being a kid, which is kind of neat. I mean, I saw J.J. Watt's post yesterday as well when he talked about going and seeing Bucks games and hockey games, Admiral hockey games and such, and the Admirals won a Calder Cup there and everything. But interesting because you had some big moments, dude. I mean, you know, as a player with Marquette, you had some big threes from that place.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, you know, and thinking about it, you know, since the Bradley Center's closed, I think that really was, for me, what it represented was my childhood NBA memories, you know. And and so, you know, playing there at Marquette, I mean, I don't want to minimize that. I played there for 4 years. It was, like, just a wonderful place to play. We had our team pregame meals in that arena where you just kind of bond and you're with your guys. And, yeah, I think that I was able to, you know, that was the stage I was able to first really, I think, prove myself, you know, to the world. And so, you know, I think back to, you know, some games like our first Big East game when we beat UConn. I had my best personal game there. But there's no question the Bradley Center for me, I think, when I played there at Marquette, it already represented for me a really special place because I think of the memories that now I think are being created in Fiserv Forum for my kids. So I realized that, you know, more memories to be made, but you kind of want to go over to the Bradley Center and take some debris and just go put it in your house.
Right, no doubt. Great stuff, Steve. Look forward to doing the show with you again this year. I know the Milwaukee Basketball Hour is going to be back again this year. I think it starts next week, if I'm not mistaken, but it's going to be great to see you again. Hopefully all is well. We'll continue to talk some Bucks winning basketball, okay?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Steve Novak, Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. It's that simple. All you got to do is check them out. By the way, speaking of the Bradley Center roof imploded. And it is all but a shell of itself now. We'll talk a little bit about that coming back next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. We are glad you are on board. We are going to be, as we told you a little bit earlier, as a matter of fact, going to be heading down to Atlanta, GA, getting ready for Super Bowl. And we're less than 2 weeks away from our Our flight's out of here. Compliments of our friends JR and the staff in Eau Claire at Pizza Del Rey. You can try the pizza buffet. Unlimited trips to the salad bar. Veterans, by the way, they treat you correct. I mean, they do it right. They take care of you there. And some of the best and friendliest service you're going to receive anywhere over there on Hastings Way in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at his Pizza Del Rey. Our buddy Dwayne and his pal Gus alongside. It's Dwayne's Cover It All up in the Wausau area. They're Wisconsin's best canvas upholstery and boat cover provider. And it doesn't matter if it's office chairs, office canvases, canopies, whatever it happens to be, he can get it done. Go to Dwayne's, D-U-A-N-E-S, DwaynesCoverItAll.com. That's DwaynesCoverItAll.com. And then Brett and the staff at Robert Hack Diamonds in Greenfield on the corner of 76th and Layton, Milwaukee on Port Washington and Green Tree Road. They pay the most cash for your gold, don't forget. And that's where I got Sherry's engagement and wedding ring. And they built that thing and made it look perfect. Go to Robert Hack, H-A-A-C-K, RobertHackDiamonds.com. That's RobertHackDiamonds.com, and check it out for yourself. The Bradley Center, you know what? It's a special place. Now, I know the Bucks never brought a championship there, and I understand that. I mean, that was something that, you know, I guess is obviously disappointing to a lot of people, but that doesn't mean there weren't great moments there. And I don't want to get into the whole what was your greatest moment thing at the Bradley Center, because everybody's done it. When they announced it was coming down, everybody started doing that, and there was great concerts. Hell, I've seen numerous acts there, and I was there during the Eastern Conference Finals and traveling with the team, which was spectacular, back and forth between Milwaukee and Philadelphia, and the excitement and the building. And I remember Sporting News making that the best sixth man in all of basketball. Remember that? When the place was just off the hook. George Karl used to get a standing ovation. I mean, a deafening standing ovation when he would come out of the tunnel. It was crazy. There was a moment in time when Ray Allen, I had my daughter here, and as she was young, she was a huge Kobe Bryant fan, and she just was. I mean, living in Cincinnati, she just didn't have NBA basketball there. She just knew Kobe. And I had one day, I got to go down early, and you're sitting there watching the guys put the court together and then run all the wires. And we were doing our show down there, and I had my daughter with me, and, you know, out of the tunnel comes Ray Allen. I kind of knew Ray a little bit, and I had talked to him ahead of time, and he kind of orchestrated some things. And Ray comes over and asks her to shoot some horse, you know. So she gets to go on the court with Ray Allen, you know, and shooting basketball with Ray Allen. And out of the tunnel comes Kobe, and Kobe came out and gave her a jersey and everything. I mean, just memories like that you can't ever, you know, get back from a building, so to speak. But so it holds some pretty cool memories for me. I remember the first time I really had a chance to talk to Keith Tozer and those guys, and the Wave goes on to win a championship. And then the Milwaukee Admirals, they win a Calder Cup, and they ended up bringing the Calder Cup in studio. So there's been championships there. I remember Tom Crean used to get standing ovations as well, and he revived Marquette basketball all over again, and they go to the Final Four, and Dwayne Wade and the whole company, Steve Novak, obviously a big part of that, and Diener, and you can go through that whole list of guys that have had success there. There's been a lot of great moments in the Bradley Center. I think the one thing that everybody has echoed is that there's been a disappointment that the Bucks did not get to the finals. I think the NBA myself orchestrated that a little bit by pulling Scotty Williams off the plane as we were heading to Philadelphia. But that's neither here nor there. The Bucks, they've had some excitement there. They've had some bad times there. There have been some bad times. There's nights when you walk in, and I remember back in the day when they used to have the media on the floor. So you used to sit right there on the floor. As a matter of fact, there's a publicity photo of Tim Thomas bringing a ball up court, and I'm right behind him in the picture, which is pretty cool. That's one of my screensavers, which is kind of neat. But the media used to be right there on the floor. And I remember going there after times got bad, and you'd look around, there may be 5,000-6,000 people there. I mean, you could all stand up and introduce yourself. So as many good times as they've had some bad times too, some lean years, no doubt about it. But the Bradley Center, the roof imploded. We saw the seats a couple of weeks ago being stripped out of the place. Obviously, the floor was holding cranes and bulldozers and all that kind of stuff, and trucks, and they're pulling stuff out of there, and there's seats and memorabilia and guitars, and they had, you know, obviously a lot of college basketball had rolled through there on the way through the tournament. You had the final, the Frozen Four that was there, big games from Wisconsin, both on the ice and both in basketball as well, huge games from Marquette, as I had mentioned. There's so much. I don't think you can go through one specific piece and say, this was my greatest memory of the Bradley Center when you talk about the overall history of it. But the building, you can't forget, the building was donated. You know, you've got new owners paying a couple hundred million dollars towards the new building. You've got obviously tax-based revenue generated that is paying the other half of this thing. But the building then was built specifically for hockey. They were hoping to get an NHL team there, and it just didn't materialize. And to get one now would be crazy, ridiculous money. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but they wanted to put the Bucks there. They wanted to bring in a hockey team. They weren't able to do it, but the Bucks certainly provided a lot of entertainment along with all the other entertainment, everything from rodeos to monster truck races. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's gone through there, but the Bradley Center, now just a shell of itself. A lot of dust and a lot of insulation floating in the trees downtown. If you want a piece of history, go climb a tree. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the Green Bay Packers' immediate future? We'll get into that discussion coming back. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.